Isn't it wonderful to be the bride of Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. Have the revelation. Other people just don't understand. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
So the Lord, middle of the week, you want to see him, see him in his word first. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have everybody here. Good to have Brother Bob and his family back from L.A., Lower Alabama. Good to have them back. Got it. We'll start. Everybody be back this coming weekend because we got Christmas free dinner. Just saying. So. Feed them, they will come. No, it's build it, they will come. Oh, feed them, they will come. Well, let's remember this Sunday, the service, sure enough. We'll have one service here, and then we'll have a baptismal service, and then we'll go to Hidden Acres and have our annual Christmas dinner. And we're going to try to get the right reverend to get over there with us so you get to see Brother Dale if he's feeling well, and we can get him over there. So just keep that in prayer. Remember, as Brother Ryan said, December the 24th, we'll have one service. 10 o'clock, no Sunday school. December 30th at 6 o'clock, be Brother Eric Guile. And we have a change in plans on December 31st. Brother Luke's got something come up and he can't make it. So we've asked someone else to come, and he hadn't got back with me yet, but so I won't announce until he says yes. So it's someone you know. But remember Brother Luis, Brother Aaron, Brother Christian, they're all, Aaron's getting ready to come back here pretty quick, and I think they're having a real good time. Brother Aaron's getting, he's getting baptized over there with 100-degree heat and all that. So what do you expect when you go there? I mean, you know, you don't expect Kool-Aid's. You're next to the equator. That's where the oven is. So same way with being in Jamaica. You know, the difference in Jamaica, in January, at wintertime in Jamaica, it's still 88 degrees, but the wind's blowing. In June, when it's hot summer in Jamaica, it's 88 degrees, no wind blowing. So that's the only difference. And when you get into that middle part of the earth, the temperature doesn't fluctuate very much. So let's keep them in prayer that they'll stay hydrated. And Brother Luis, I'm sure he's been preaching double and triple time, so we want to remember him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. I know we all have needs. People are sick and here coughing. And remember our community. We've lost several people in our community past couple of days. So let's just remember them. And some of them really freak accidents. So let's remember them in prayer. To Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we come in the middle of the week, Lord, expecting something from you, Lord, if we wouldn't have come. Father, I pray that you'd be with us now in the furtherment of this service. Take the active control of it, Lord, and you be the one that gives us revelation, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be with the ones that are sick, Lord, the ones that have lost loved ones, and this time of the year is rough for a lot of people anyway, Lord. Many ones have lost loved ones since this time last year. We pray, Lord, that you'd wrap your loving arms around each one, Lord, that you'll touch their heart, Father, and help them, Lord, in a time of their being lonely and different things. Lord, we know that you're the God of peace. Lord, I pray that you give us peace in our heart, Lord. Just be with each one, Lord, in the furtherment of this service. Bless Brother Luis, Brother Aaron, Brother Christian, Lord. We know that they'll come back with many wonderful testimonies. And we pray, Lord, that you would just bless Brother Luis's voice, Lord. Touch him, Father. He's got to speak, and he's not even halfway there yet. He's still got another week or so more to go. So we pray that you'd strengthen him, Lord, and keep him strong, Father. We ask your blessings on all the ones that bride around the world, Lord. The different ones, Lord, that are that are sick there, Lord, and many ones called in, Lord. We pray that you'd touch them, Father, and just bless each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. And Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the Word. We had a good time Sunday afternoon. I really enjoyed that. It was a bit visual, but we had a good time trying to explain, and we're going to talk a little bit more about tonight on dispensation. But I wanted you to understand something. When we were talking about the water and it being the Holy Spirit, you know, inside that water that I'm looking at right here, and you're looking at this, it has substance, right? You see that? It's got substance to it. You can drink it. It's got minerals. It's got all different things. But inside that are molecules that you can't see. But if you take all the molecules out, all the water comes out. So it takes all the molecules, and that water that I was using the Sunday, the water that I was using, see, that's why we don't believe in preexistence of souls. We don't believe that we were something back there. We were nothing. We were a molecule in the mind of God. We were a molecule part. If God was water, we were just a piece of that water. But now that piece of that water is God. The part of that water is God. Every molecule in this right here, besides that outer shell, besides the outer shell, is God. That water in there, that's all water. All right? So that's the same way with God. So all God was, he poured into Christ, and it wasn't that he lost his fathership. It just that he moved over into another form or began another dispensation. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, heading toward the headstone, because these are all dispensations. Brother Brown said he was a dispensationalist, and God is a dispensationalist. We'll look at that in just a minute. But in Colossians, it says, "For by him were all things created," what we were talking about Sunday, "that are in heaven, earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." You know, you drive down the road as we're having our wonderful overload of packages, it slows you down just a little bit. So you can start reflecting a little bit on what's going on outside. And you see everything was created. There's not one thing that you have seen with your natural eye that God didn't create. Now, man put it together and made different things out of it, but all the elements that takes for any of this you see, plus you, came from him. All right? So everything emanated from him, and listen, he doesn't make any mistakes, so he didn't have to start over again. Now, listen, I was going back to that scripture the other day, and it just kept going over my mind where Paul says, "Until Christ be formed in you." All right, see, until Christ be formed in you. Because remember, you're a newborn babe in Christ. You're not a full stature. You're not the full, as the potter wheel would put the glob of clay, and if you walked by and looked at it, you'd have saw a pot just a glob of clay. But inside that clay, the master potter, he's already seen how much he needs to make his vase. So So he's got that, and he makes it, and you know, he don't make any mistakes, but we do. So our clay is flawed, because every once in a while there might be a little piece of dirt that don't need to be there. There might be a little clot. I've noticed when we were a long time ago that the brother, Joe Craven and some of the different ones and our cousins, I mean, they were just masters in doing it, but all of a sudden inside that, Brother George, there'd be a twig. They try to run it through a filter the best they can, but there'd be a little something that would kind of knock it off. Well, they'd pull that out, and they'd spack that thing. They didn't throw the clay away. They put the clay back on the wheel and started all over again and made what they were trying to make in the first place. Well, God did the same thing. He's going to make what he started in the first place, Brother John. All right? So by him, who? Him, by God. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, here's where we're at today. He is the head of the body, the church. All right, so he's the head. We're the body. All right? Now, I didn't choose that. You didn't choose that. God chose that. Right. All right? God chose it to be this whole way, this whole thing. God chose this, and this is where it's going to be, and we can't change it. You can't change God's mind. That's right. You can't change it. That's why we have to, as I was telling my dentist today, she was talking about a problem she was having with her kids, and she said, "Well, I'm telling them this, and I'm telling them that," and I said, "You know," I said, "just get out of the way and just, you know, back off a little bit. They're 20-something years old." I said, "You know, Dwight Moody said God will only fill those that are not full of their self." I said, "So let's don't get full of ourself and think we can handle everything. Let's just give it to God." Right, all right? Amen. Give it to God, and he'll never make a mistake. He's always right. He's always on time. He's never off. Amen. That's the kind of God I serve. And then if something does happen around me, as Brother Bob says, wonky or a little off, all right, it's not God. It's me. Okay? Because God's not that way. But it's me. But now what am I doing? I'm going through these tests and trials to get over into that perfect will of God. Because to come to the headstone, you got to be in the perfect will of God. All right, because Jesus Christ was the perfect will of God. He wasn't part-time, sometime. He was the perfect will of God because he was God walking on the earth in two feet. Now he's doing that in me and you because he's transferred that part of him into us. All right? So he's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Remember, he had to die. He had to die so you don't have to. All right? That in all things he might have the preeminence. There's the whole thing. We got to give him the preeminence. Get out of the way, Brother George. Amen. Get out of the way. Right. Die. And let him live. Amen. For look, so it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now look, if it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, all fullness should dwell, then what is lost between there and putting it in us? Right. Nothing. There's nothing lost, so he's pleased that in all the fullness dwell in the bride. That all the fullness dwell in the bride. Amen. All right? To Revelation 3:14, this is our age, and this is for us. This is our, as we're going to say, dispensation. All right? Not the other ones. We didn't have the one where you have a name that you're dead. We already know that that happened, and it's still happening now. But this is today the bride age. This is to the bride. To the updated bride, the ones that are alive, the ones that are passed on, they are not hearing this sermon. Right. All right? And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith thee, amen, the faithful and true witness. Now, not that it was false at any time, but watch what that word true means. It's just like you take a tuning fork. And I don't know a whole lot about music, but that tuning fork, when it's a whatever it is, whatever C, D, or whatever G, or whatever chord it is, if you got that one thing, you know, it sticks up like this, and you hit it and it vibrates, that's a tuning fork, right? And it's the true sound that it makes when you hit it. It's the true sound that it makes. So that doesn't mean that it's false, but it means it comes to a trueness or watch. The beginning of the creation of God, and we talked about that Sunday. You and I are the continuation of that creation. That which has not only the name and resemblance, because remember, back in the other church ages, he says, you got a name that you call, but you're dead. All right, which is a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, or a Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, right? But that was a dispensation that God said, that's okay for the time. Right. But now, when we come up to the faithful and true witness, here today, it's the real nature corresponding to the name. So when we, because Brother Random, that always kind of tripped me up when I hear Brother Random say, they'll say Jesus, Jesus, and not get anything. Well, I thought, man, if you call the name of Jesus and you were pretty sincere about it, then he had to answer. But if you call Jesus, Jesus, and you're talking about the second person of the Trinity, or the second personage of God, he don't have to respond to that name. Right. All right? To prove that, I'll show it to you in just a minute. Well, I don't think I put it in here, but there's one kind of like it. Remember when the woman was that Jesus called a dog? Remember she was a Gentile? Yeah. She said, son of David, have mercy on me, son of David. Well, Brother Ram said he did not answer her. Remember, he didn't even, it was just like she wasn't even there. Right? Because that wasn't his title at the time. Right. But when she said, Lord, she entered into a place, then it was a true witness standing there that she was corresponding to. She said, my Lord. Amen. And her daughter was healed. Right? Amen. So that's the same way with me and you. That's why that you can have so much of Christianity out in the world, and they're able to do whatever they want to now in the end time. I mean everything, and still be a Christian. All right, so that's not the true nature. It's not a true witness. The bride is the only true witness of God. Amen. All right, the others are false. That's right. And they may be true to a point because the foolish virgin is a virgin. All right, she's trying, but she just can't get there. But the real nature corresponding to the name in every respect, corresponding to the idea signified by the name, real, true, genuine. So in every respect, we should know Jesus Christ more than any other church age. Hallelujah. That's what's given to us. We should know who this man is, where he's at, what his character is, and where he resides. Because I'm going to read it to you in a minute that if you overcome in this age, guess what you get to do? You don't get to sit on his throne. You get to sit in his throne,
right,
which means you sit there with him.
Right.
And actually, he's inside of you.
Right.
All right? I think about many times Dwight Moody and different ones that we revere as, and they are. They were for their time and for their dispensation, they were the truth. But the way they read Scripture, now, could they read Revelation 3:14, Brother Bob, and read it just like we read it just now? I don't think so. Because
nope.
The revelation wasn't there. They didn't have the revelation.
Amen.
Actually, Dwight Moody was a Trinitarian, so he didn't have that revelation. And he wasn't able to sit down with the Lord in his throne.
Right.
And not on his throne. All right? So Brother Bram says, look, we'll talk about dispensation right here. Now, when Jesus came to earth, he came in the name of three sons, son of man, which is prophet, son of God, and son of David. All right? So now, let me just show you, let's just look at this chart just for a minute. Well, let's do this. Because he came as the son of man. Before the church ages began, he was the son of man. All right? Now, before that, he was son of God in the Old Testament as Jehovah. Right? Jehovah. Right? So that was the Son of God. That was the Spirit of God that would come on to Moses and come off of Moses. That would come on to David and then come off of David. And then come on Ezekiel and Isaiah and all the different ones. He would anoint them to do the things that they were supposed to do. But yet he couldn't indwell them because they didn't have anything to eradicate sin. They only had something to cover.
Right.
All right, so that's very elementary, but we got to get here somewhere. Son of God, then, is the Spirit of God that went through the ages. I'm talking about old ages. I'm talking about the church ages in the Old Testament. He went through those church ages in the Old Testament, and he raised up a group of people. There was a group of people that was going to make it, that was going to be the patriarchs and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, different ones. But they weren't his children. They weren't his progeny. They weren't his bride.
Right.
They couldn't call him that.
That's right.
He never called Abraham his son.
Right.
He called him his friend.
Right. Amen. Come on. That's right.
You see how the scripture's perfect when it starts talking? But see, you and I can see the difference in all that.
Yeah.
We can see the difference in the, as Brother Dale preached many years ago about the capital letters, capital L-O-R-D meant God speaking direct from himself to somebody instead of the lowercase L-O-R-D, which is thus saith the Lord, coming from someone to someone else.
Right.
All right? If you don't know anything about that, we ought to go back. We may all play that sometime because that's a really good, really good series he did.
Amen.
On the punctuations and the capital letters. They're there for a purpose because you keep reading in the Bible and you see this capital letter where it shouldn't be.
Right.
Then you see capital L-O-R-D, different from lowercase. Even lowercase L-O-R-D. King of Kings, capital. Lord of Lords, small. Then we get down to the end where it's all capitalized. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, which is all of us in together there in Revelation 19. So it has a meaning to it. Like these dispensations. Like these names. Listen, like I said before, these names. Luther couldn't sit and say, look, we're under the Son of Man ministry. We're under the Son of Man anointing. He didn't have a clue. I don't say he didn't have a clue. He did not know what he was talking about when he even said Son of Man.
Amen.
He just knew that Jesus called himself the Son of Man.
Right.
All right? That's what. Well, see, now we know why, though.
Right.
We know why he called himself the Son of Man.
Amen.
We know why that he was the Son of God through seven church ages as the Spirit of God back again like he was in the Old Testament. But this time he was going to birth a group of people, not just anoint them and then come off of them. He was going to dwell in them and stay in them.
Amen.
But see, with that though, now with that, we can go back to the Son of Man again just for a moment. In the end time, according to Luke 17:30, the day when the Son of Man's being revealed. So now he lived here on earth. He never did say he was the Son of God. He said, I'm the Son of Man. Jehovah himself called Ezekiel and the prophets Son of Man. If you look in the book of Ezekiel, it says, prophesy, Son of Man, prophesy, Son of Man. Because he had to come to fulfill Scripture as a prophet. Moses said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. That's the reason he could not be the Son of God there, Because he was the Son of Man. All right, so we'll talk about dispensation. I'll read a little bit of what about what is a dispensation. Because the word came to the prophets, and he was the word in his fullness. All right, Son of Man, the major prophet, not the major prophet, but the God prophet. Ezekiel had a part. Each one had a part to play. All right, but he was the fullness, and that's what made him the Son of Man. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And what did he do? He fulfilled every scripture that they said about him in the Old Testament, fulfilled it in the New Testament.
Right.
All right, everybody with me? All right. Well, we know he lived in the Old Testament, but it was when Paul would speak of him, he would speak of him. Never said much about Son of Man. If you look in your New Testament, Son of Man's not mentioned many, many times except Jesus calling himself the Son of Man. Because he was really, listen, he was the only one that understood what Son of Man was. Only one. And really only one till the end time, till our dispensation did that. They said, well, he might be this. Because listen, you can't make God the Son of Man and break him up into three people.
Right.
You can't do that. But they look at him and see, well, there's somebody, there's a God in flesh, so there must be another God up here that he prayed to, so there must be one up here, one here. And then, oh, Jesus stood one day and said, I'm going to send the Comforter, so there's number three. Right. Same man.
Amen.
Therefore, he was the Son of Man. Why? Because he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right? No one else could claim that. And no one else can claim it till now, but you and I, like I said before Sunday, we're now in a many-membered body, but we have the same anointing, the same Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's just in each form called a bride.
Yeah, right.
All right? Amen. In our names that are being called.
Amen.
From that book of redemption. Amen. Everybody with me? Now, for 2,000 years, he's been known as the Son of God. So that's the Son of God dispensation, which is God, not in human flesh, his own human flesh. He's now poured himself into a bride. But right around the coming of the Lord, he's got to come back as the Son of Man to bring back the resurrection. Who was resurrected? The Son of Man was resurrected. Son of God never needed a resurrection. He never died.
Right.
But that Son of Man died. In human flesh, he died. That human flesh died. God can't die, but his human flesh did. All right?
Amen.
Died for me and you.
Yes.
So everybody with me?
Amen.
So look, I got this off the internet. Must be true. Dispensationalism is a theological framework of interpreting the Bible, which maintains that history is divided into multiple ages or dispensations, now watch, in which God acts with his, look, chosen people. I like that. That was good. I read through several commentaries. This is the best one to explain what I want to tonight. God acts with his chosen people in different ways. Not that God's different.
Right.
But he acts in different ways so that you can understand it. Everybody with me on that? Dispensationalists use a literal interpretation of the Bible. That's us. And believe that divine revelation, look, unfolds throughout the Bible. This is not a message believer, but it sounds pretty good. They believe that there's a distinction between Israel and the church, praise God. Because remember, we have a problem. Well, we don't now, but we had a problem in denominations. Who is this 144,000? Who is this souls under the altar? Even Brother Branham did for a little while. He thought those souls under the altar was the Christians, amen? Until God showed him there were Jews that were given eternal life because of their stand and being just a Jew. So now the Christians are not bound to Mosaic law. Now you understand what I'm saying, but that don't mean we throw the Ten Commandments out. I know what the man's talking about because an eye for an eye, we don't do that. Our revelations come up higher.
Right.
All right. All right. Right.
Amen.
Jesus said, you heard of old, but I say unto you. If you don't touch them out here in the Old Testament, you're okay. But he exposed them when he come over here and he said, hey, you even look at them and lust after them in your heart, you've done it already. He didn't do away with the law. He done what the Bible said. He magnified the law and made it livable or honorable. So Christians are not bound by Mosaic law, which we're not bound by that. We understand that because, look, I mean, if we just sat and did the law of Moses, we'd be Israelites. Okay? And remember, they're looking for a Messiah. We know he's already come. So they maintain beliefs in premillennialism and a future restoration of national Israel, which we do too, and a rapture of the church that will happen before the second coming of Christ. Generally seeing as happening before a period of tribulation, which sounds good. So dispensationalism, now Brother Branham, they ask him, he's on the future home now. This is a real good example because in the future home, he's preaching a seventh day. He's preaching on seventh day of the millennium, and he's typing it as the old seventh day, and everything's in a seven, right? Yes, all right. And so old Brother Ram said, you've run out of types. That's what this whole quote is. Is they said, old Brother Ram said, what are you going to do now? You've run out of your complete sevens. What are you going to do now? Now, you're a dispensationalist, which I am, and I believe that God is too. So he goes on to tell and plainly reads that there is an eighth day sanctification or an eighth day over even in the Old Testament that types the future home, not the millennium. All right? The millennium is still in time. The millennium all the way up to the white throne judgment is still in time. It's still the old seventh day. Everybody with me on that? The only time you come to a total, eternal condition. Now, not us. We're already done before that. But I'm talking about a literal earth and everybody else that's on the earth. Because when we get into the millennium, there'll be some people that are not eternal. Satan's still going to be here. He's going to be bound, but he ain't going to be done away with. When you get over into the eighth day, I hope somebody sees this. When you get over into that eighth day, which we should be typing it now. When you get over in the eighth day, Satan's gone. Satan's dead. Yep. And his little imps and all the pain and suffering. And that's why that future home, I love that book. I've always said, Brother Mark, if they took every book away from me, don't give me the seal book and the church age book. Give me the future home. That book tells you when you got born again. It tells you where you're going. That's good enough for me. And then I'll let God fill the rest of it in. But I believe that God is too. So we live in dispensations. There was a dad's oldest brother, Marshall. We were having a, he asked me to speak at a breakfast they had. And there was a young minister there, and he started asking dad about Martin Luther. And asked about John Wesley. And John Wesley's the founder of the Methodist Church. And we were standing in a Methodist church, you know. And, you know, and Marshall said, oh, and then we start talking about church ages and about this one coming and that one coming. Well, here we're talking about Luther and Wesley and somebody he should know. Hello? I mean, you ought to know who your founder is, right? Oh, that ain't not, got nothing to do with it. That's just something Paul wrote, and John wrote, and they ain't nothing to that at all. They ain't no this age and that man and this time and all that. Because, see, he knew that we were supposed to be built on a man. And, you know, Daddy said, well, that's when Daddy said, well, see, your founder was a man, too. Right. His name was John Wesley. Right. Yep. Right. So you were founded on a man, all right? So he just walked away. But we are dispensationalists. I believe in a dispensation of the Son of God. I believe in a dispensation of the Son of Man. I also believe in a dispensation of the Son of David. But that's not to us. That has nothing to do with us because we're not Jews. So we have separated that part away from. In the millennium, he is going to be the Son of David because he promised the throne would never be without a Son of David. And he was going to rule and reign the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, listen. He's not going to rule and reign me and you. He's already done that down here.
That's right.
Amen.
Listen, that's what the perfect thing to me about the bride is. I was thinking about it the other day, and we'll try to explain it the way I got it. Then what this, the Bible is spreading all this out. Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. Everybody with me?
Right.
And then most of, see, then Satan will jump in there, and he said, oh, you'll get it over there, or oh, it don't matter if you go through a little bit, you know, 3.5 years of tribulation, you can get saved, and then it's 3.5 more years of tribulation, and then you get saved at the end of that. Just don't worry about it. Everything's okay. Well, that's the devil just keep what? What do? We procrastinate. We keep pushing stuff back, pushing stuff back. No, we get everything here.
Amen.
Yeah. We even get a body change right here. So when you get a body change, you're done. What else do you need? You just need to hold on a little while. Wait on the Jews to catch up. Come on, wait on the earth to catch up. We've already in it now. We're in the eighth day by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are in our future home. You're sitting in it today. Because John saw it coming out of heaven. He said it looked like a what? A bride adorned for her husband. So all he done is he saw the millions of bride coming down. And that city just sitting on that hill. And guess what? Brother Donnie, you ain't got to get a GPS to find out where you're going to have a house.
Exactly.
No. I believe you'll land right where you're supposed to.
Right. Exactly.
And then you'll be able to travel like a thought.
Amen.
We'll have to worry about electric cars and gas cars and have to worry about OPEC or none of that junk. Right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But we get it now, though, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your soul today is sitting in heavenly places. Your soul today, as I've said many times before, is an eternal person, and it's in eternity. Listen, that's where you get revelation. Because
yeah.
Understand one thing's for sure. Sister Alicia, this is not the way it should have been. There should have been no sorrow, no death, no pain, no agony. But God, in his heart, he was a healer. In his heart, he wanted to save something. Because he knew we'd get lost. He wanted to redeem us. So in other words, for him to be that, somebody had to be lost. Really simple to understand the plan of redemption. He didn't make Adam get lost. He didn't make Eve get lost. He gave them an opportunity to not, because he said, if you don't do that, you'll live. But if you do that, you'll die. That's pretty black and white, plain as could be. Do it and live. Don't do it. Or don't do it and live. Do it and die. Well, they did it and they died. But God knew that, so he made a provision already. He killed a lamb. He slayed a lamb before the foundation of the world in his mind. And then he developed that plan down here and started in dispensation. There was a dispensation of Adam, because there was a race of Adam. Listen, there was a race of Adam all the way up to the flood till you come up to Abraham, that there was not even a law. Come on. That was 2,000 years that there was not, I mean, yeah, there were sacrifices, and yeah, they were, had laws maybe passed down from verbal, from Adam to Seth, and Seth said, well, now, we need to make a sacrifice, and then Seth's children says, okay, we need to make a sacrifice, but they didn't have any, there was no promise in between those 2,000 years until after the flood, and then God steps back on the scene and says, okay, all right, hold on, now you do this, and do this, and do this, and do this. Multiply and replenish the earth. We're going to repopulate this thing. We're going to start all over again. But I'm never going to do it this way again. I'm not going to wipe everything off, Brother George. But by fire, not by water. All right? So that's God's plan. It's perfect. It's beautiful. But we get everything. Everything that I'm spreading out, that we're talking about, everything that we look at a future home. If you're born again right this moment, you've punched your ticket. You don't have to worry what streets you're going to be on. You don't even have to worry about going to any kind of judgment except the judgment of the deeds that you've done in the body, not a quiet throne judgment. And you're just, what we're doing is listen, if God waited for 6,000 years for us to come to this place, why can't we wait 1,000 years for everybody else to come to this place?
Right.
Like the Jews in the millennium, the heathen and different ones, and then we're just going to be there in a honeymoon. It's not going to hurt us. Nothing's going to bother us. Nothing's going to... We're actually standing in our future home. But there's a dispensation that God's got to get the Jews together.
That's right.
Amen.
Through two prophets.
Right.
Amen. They're not here now. So, I mean, yeah, they're over there, but they're not preaching now.
Right.
They're not believers now. So there must be a dispensation. We'll get into that maybe a little bit later on. We'll talk about the interval, but not today. We'll maybe a little bit, a couple more Sundays. Because we touched on the intervals this past Sunday afternoon. But there's a, Brother Brown tells us, and I didn't read the quote, but I'll read it tonight, where there's something that happens. Something goes on during that interval. Well, the interval between us and the millennium is the bringing in of the Jews. All right, now listen, you and I are spiritual Jews. We're not natural Jews.
Right.
We're not counted 1 to 12,000 to 144,000, and we get two prophets. And listen, they got a time clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They punch a time clock. They got 1,260 days, and that's it.
Amen.
You and I are Gentiles. We have time no longer. They have time, times, and the dividing of times. They've got 1,260 days to get this message. That's 3.5 years, but that's not really 3.5 of our calendar years. It's 1,260 days of the prophetic calendar, which is 360 days, and ours is 365 1/4. All right? All right? So that'll help you in Daniel 70 weeks if you ever want to study that. That'll help you in that if you'll get you to get your numbers right. So Brother Brown said the other night, he come in three names. Name, the Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. When he was on earth, the first time he was the Son of Man. He could not be the Son of God. Now, you can't listen to Brother Brown where Brother Brown says, God can't do this. That's what he said. He could not be the Son of God then. He never claimed to be. Why? Because a dispensation of the Son of God meant that God was in spirit form and he was out over the people above them.
Right.
Right. All right. Now the Son of Man is that Son of God in a human called the Son of Man. So now that dispensation of whatever the time Jesus lived, 30 years, and preached for 3.5 years, and then that went away. Because the Bible says the headstone was rejected.
Yeah, that's right.
The headstone was taken off. The headstone was the Son of Man.
Amen.
They had no other recollection. Even the great Paul and different ones never really understood. They called him the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God. They knew he was the creator in human flesh. But they never understood how close that really is. Because they had that same spirit. They just didn't realize it because the dispensation wasn't for them to get it. The dispensation today is for us to get it. There is not another dispensation except Israel. So if you're a Jew, you might have a shot. But if you're a Gentile, when this dispensation's over, it's done.
Right.
It's done for the Gentiles. I'm telling you, when that door closes, when that door of the ark closed and man didn't close it, no preacher closed it, Noah didn't close it. God closed the door. He said, get in the ark. I'm done. There's got to be a time limit somewhere. Same way with us. He said he was the Son of Man. When anybody would question him, he'd say, you see the Son of Man. Son of Man. Now, Son of Man is a prophet. He had to come that way because the scripture, he cannot come contrary to the scripture. That's why today our message, now watch, our message of this hour cannot come through theologians and theologies, all right? What's he saying? It can't come through Caiaphas and Gamaliel.
Amen.
Right. Even how great they were, maybe not Caiaphas, but Gamaliel and Nicodemus. It's not a Nicodemus doctrine anymore. It's not a Gamaliel doctrine anymore.
Amen.
We've come up to now to where we're looking at that same guy in human flesh. That ministry is right back in power again. And that's what Brother Branham is bringing to us. And as we won't get to it this afternoon or tonight. But that's why that door opens. There's a door opens.
Amen.
What? The seals open. Yeah. The book opens.
Right.
You got all this open stuff over here in Revelations in the dispensation of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Which is right now. Our dispensation. All right? Now look. The Son of God dispensation is still going, though.
Right.
It's not stopping until the Gentile doors closed.
Yeah. Right.
But there's a Son of Man revelation that's going to change somebody's body and take these people that have been under this revelation, that have went on and passed on, it'll bring them out of the ground.
Amen.
That's why today our message of this hour cannot come through theologians and theology. It's got to come back to the same thing it promised to do. It must be that way. So we find out in this man, he had to be a prophet, not a Son of God there. He had to be a Son of Man. Now, we explained that with the thing Sunday. So you ought to be able to understand that. But remember, God, when he, as far as the church ages go, you know, Brother Dale preached many years ago, and even Brother Brown says that it's not an abrupt end of one and a beginning of another.
Right.
All right? So, the first church, Ephesus church age didn't abruptly end on January the 26th. That's my birthday. January, coming up pretty soon. January 26th. 2024? January? Your birthday ain't in January. Yeah, you're old, though. So we're going to take that the first church age ended on January 24th. See there, I said 24th. 2024, boom. And now we've got another messenger on the scene, and he just goes from a baby, or he just realizes, and he starts preaching. That's not the way God is. God flows.
Right.
There's an overlap to each age. There's an overlap. Everything overlaps. There's a Brother Brown called it a lap over, right, but it is an overlap, same thing. So one message comes, and you still, as Brother Branham came, there was still old Pentecost that was in his meetings that made it. They were born again Christians, but did not understand the message of the hour. Come on. Right? But God didn't abruptly kill him and throw him away. No, he come on. But there's one time, though, when he says, hey, that's enough. So something happens. That's why 1977 had to happen the way it did.
Right?
Because it ushered into a new, a jubilee. It ushered into a new time. A period to where God's not going to wink it at the ignorance of the Pentecostals anymore. He's got a bride. He's got a mature wife that he's got to start working on. All right. But there is an abrupt end to the Gentile dispensation. Because when God's done, he's done with it.
Right.
But the church ages is just a flow, one right through the other. All right. So the Son of God is working. Son of God is working. But right now, everything's coming together as the Son of Man revelation. Today. Not tomorrow. Today. When Brother Brown preached those seals that opened the revelation of the Son of Man, it just took us 60 years to realize what it is. But you know what? God's not up there going. He knew exactly before the foundation of the world how long it would take us to get it.
That's right.
That's why he's not nervous, Sister Rebecca. He knows everything. We're all nervous. I'm nervous about tomorrow because I'm worried that y'all done bought a bunch of packages and I got to deliver them all tomorrow. But I don't know that until tomorrow until I walk in the door. But God knew it before the foundation of the world, so he's not worried about it. He knows exactly what's going to happen. That's why we put it in his hands and let him take care of it. Sorry. Then he served his office as the Son of Man. Now look, he served his office as the Son of Man, dispensation. Then he served his office now as Son of God. God is the Spirit. Well, now he served through the church ages as the Son of God. So where's the church ages? After the Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, and even lapping over into that you and I, we're not in an age now. We are called out of that age, and we're in the bright age, all right? Now look, so now in the millennium, though, he'll be Son of David. Not Son of David now, because the Syrophoenician woman kept saying, Son of David, and he never even paid her any attention. You'd think he was rude. But he was making a point. It was scripture that you and I get to preach on to see that he knew that he wasn't in that dispensation yet.
Right.
So he did not have to, Brother Bram said she didn't have any connection to him with the Son of David.
Right.
You and I don't either. See, we can say Son of David, and he don't even have to pay attention to us.
Right.
But when you say Son of Man or Son of God, and you say the Lord Jesus, and you know he's both. And he's inside of you.
Amen.
Brother Bram said, look, it's the same man all the time.
Right.
All right, so let's go to Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Now, this is the Laodicean church age. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. See, it always even open door, even if we have to open it. That's a door we have to open,
all right,
to let him into our heart. But I will come in with you and will sup with him and he with me. Now watch, to him that overcometh, in other words, to him that has a victory, that comes to a position, all right, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now look, the Father's throne is over here because remember, he had to overcome to sit on the Father's throne. All right? It's not a real throne. You don't have a father over here. And you got three thrones in heaven. I think everybody in the Bible knows one thing for sure. It says one throne. And then there's thrones at the white throne judgment. We know who that is. That's us. So he will grant, after we overcome this age, Well, I grant to sit with me in my throne, not on, in my throne, intimacy. Amen. See, this is intimacy in the end time. It wasn't that way back in the other church ages. And everybody looks at that first part and says, oh, you need I-7, you need all this, and it's all a bunch of condemnation. That right there wasn't given to any other church age, my friends. Yeah. It wasn't granted the intimacy that we have that we can sit with him in his throne. Just as he overcome and sat down on his Father's throne, which was he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Right. He took that Jehovah God, put him in human flesh, died for me and you. Come on, somebody. And then that's where he ascended and said, I'm going to where? My Father. Right. And he's going to be on the right hand of the Father. Remember when Stephen was dying? He looked up and saw heaven, saw Jesus standing on the right throne. White right side of the throne or the right arm of the Father. All right? It's just a position. It's not people. Same person. Different dispensation. Different manifestation. We know that. But now here's the part that you got to swallow where she is him. So we've come to the place now to where, all right, he's not in a church.
Come on.
He's not in a church. There's some good people in the church. If they attach themselves to the church is when they get in trouble.
Right.
All right? If they'll come out of that thing, they'll have a chance. Because it doesn't say come into her, my people. It says come out of her, my people.
Amen.
All right? And he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations. Look, all the revelations any others has spoke of the bride. All right? It can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. Do we really believe that? Prophet of God tells us what the Holy Ghost has given for us. He said, look, God's purpose we find in sending the Holy Spirit. Now watch. Watch how he words this. Everybody with me? Stay awake a few minutes. I know it's hot up here too. God's purpose. Now look, God's purpose. So it's not my purpose, your purpose. It's God's purpose. All right? God's purpose we find in sending the Holy Spirit. You know why he sent the Holy Spirit? He's fixing to tell us. But now remember, was one purpose. To send the Holy Spirit was one purpose, and that was to get a bride under the Son of God manifestation. Everybody with me on that? Through the church ages. But now watch. And continue his plans through the church, which now we know is the bride, that God was in Christ, continuing his plans through Christ. Now look, out of Christ into the church. Continuing his work through the church. All that God was, he poured into Christ because he emptied himself and poured it into Christ. And Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that Jehovah was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church, not into one individual, as we were talking about Sunday. I gave you all those different cuts. He poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church, not into one individual, but into the entire body. There's where we come together in unity. Look, we have power. You can have a wonderful engine, and you can have an 8-cylinder, 10-cylinder, you can have a 50-cylinder. But if it's missing on one cylinder, Brother Donnie, what does it do? It cuts the power right down to nothing almost. And you sputter and you foul a plug, you know. That's not what we're in. We're not in a fouling plug era.
Right.
All right? We got to have all cylinders firing. We got to have all the power. We got to have the power. Same power that when Jesus stood out there one day and he stood in that garden, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me.
That's
right. Now, if all power in heaven and earth has been given unto him, where did he just say how he gave it to? He poured it into the bride. They've just not come to the realization, and I don't mean that frivolously. They didn't come to the realization like we have.
Right.
That we're him.
Amen.
I see denominations pass off the scene. Everything else going. I see God's great purpose. He keeps saying purpose. God's great purpose revealing himself. And having first to reveal himself in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Because, see, look, the only way we can understand the Father, because Jesus stood one day and he said, you've never seen the Father. Right. Brother Brown stood one time and he said, you don't see the real me. Right? Right? But to understand that person, we look at the character. We look at the character of Jesus Christ. We know that that's who he was. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily because all those virtues worked in his life. And he never preached a wrong sermon. Right. And look, and then to bring that fullness of Godhead bodily into a people that he can have the preeminence. You know what preeminence is? He can have the power over you before anything begins. Right. He has the preeminence, over what you're doing. Right. Boy, we're missing it, aren't we? Because, you know, there's a pre and a post. There's a pregame show and a postgame show. Postgame show is when it's over with. We're actually over here in the postgame show. You know, we're over here going, what? No. He already wants the preeminence. So when you give him the first... When you give him the first control, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen at the end. Right. The problem is we take self-will on this side and not preeminence on that through the journey, right? Well, that's my problem. I don't know if it's yours. That he can have the preeminence, the oversight, the leading. Now watch, Christ the mystery of God revealed. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church, the preeminences. All that God was, he poured into Christ. Christ was, he poured into the church. Look. The believers. Not the church, the believers. Right. Then he comes and calls us bride after the seals break. He calls us bride. One more thing. It's God in men, the fullness of God in the Godhead bodily in his entire church, manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. Now we find God all ages has had skin on it. All right? So God has had skin on it the whole time. But God has been hid behind the veil. But what's happened? False doctrine has kept him from coming on the scene like he wanted to be.
Amen. Right.
Right. Ephesians 4:14 says, we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. Now, what happens when you speak the truth in love? You grow up. May grow up into him, look, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Remember I told y'all the other day, false doctrine hinders the Holy Spirit. You believe that? Amen, listen to this. Listen to what Jesus had to do. Luke 8, verse 52. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not. Remember Jairus' daughter, I believe it was. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed. Now this is God. This is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right? And I didn't find the quote, but I'll find it later where Brother Brown says he had to put them out of the room because of their unbelief. Because watch this. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out. Right. He put them out of the room and took that lady by the hand and said, maid, arise. So what hindered him? All the unbelief around him is what hindered him. Right. Remember, he tells about going in the city and he had to leave the city because of their unbelief. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, and grieve not. That word grieve is to make sorrowful, to affect with sadness. I want you to look, offend. To make the Holy Spirit uneasy. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And offend not the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And to make the Holy Spirit uneasy. Yeah, we can do that. Because we're still humans. And he knows that, and he's made provision. So now let's talk about the pyramid just for a second. It never was put on top of the pyramid. Why? Because when he said he was rejected, and he said, I go away, and I'm going to send the comforter, the headstone went away. God in human flesh went out, went over in another dimension. But to build this monument, to build this stature, it starts out with the foundation stone of faith, and then he continues on with all the virtues. And he controls in the strength of every one of these things. Right in here, I got in between all these works in here, little waves. Now, the original pictures, like I said before, I'm going to try to find it because I know Daddy's got it somewhere. He's got waves coming like this on the chart. So that what's that wave doing? It's coming. This is what we've been waiting on. Is the wave. We've been waiting on that wave of the Holy Ghost to seal us all in. You say, no, I'm sealed. Yeah, in your soul you are. But not in your spirit. Definitely not in your flesh. But we're waiting on that little wave, that little thing to put everything together. Now watch, he says, look, the Holy Ghost coming down. Now remember, you already got the Holy Ghost in your soul. So you don't have to come down somewhere to get in your soul if he's already in there.
Right.
Everybody with me? So he's bringing an anointing of the Holy Ghost. This is not a new birth. This is not a different new birth than you got to begin with. This is an anointing. This is a dispensational change. Is everybody with me? Because your church ages are over. The dispensation, Laodicea. It's a dispensation change to where God's only talking to his wife. Because remember, the wife is the only one that's going to understand what the groom says. All what the groom says. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together, building a perfect. Say that word. Perfect what? Church. For the capstone to cap it off. Well, you know what? People say there ain't no perfect church, and if you go find one the first time you step in it, it's not perfect anymore. I said that. But he said a perfect church. Not perfect in that everybody agrees 100% with the color of the walls, you know. But you better agree in doctrine. You better not have your own idea. Because your own idea, that don't even sound right to God. Your own idea. I thought we had to get rid of them and get his idea. All right. And he don't have ideas. He has truth. Now look, what happens next? Then comes the Pentecostal, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Still the church got smaller in the minority. And now it goes on till that has to get to such a perfect place. He keeps saying the word perfect. Until when that headstone finally comes. Now watch. It'll fit so perfect. The church will have to be in such a perfect shape. Here said it three times in two sentences. Plus the other quote before. Until when Christ comes, he fits right into it. So you see, just speaking in tongues, dancing in the spirit, that's way down the line here yet. And remember, if you was ever there in Egypt, the Sphinx, talking about the stones, you put a razor blade between them, honed to a perfect condition till it fits perfect. That's the way the church is going to have to be. So honed down, the word honing the church. Until when Christ comes to take the church, the ministry, the church will pick right up on it and raise Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and all, and go up with that, with it to take the church up. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. We just read this a minute ago, which is the head even Christ. So let's continue though. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. There's that fit part again. Fitly joined together and compacted. Brother George, compacted. That means we were just in Gainesville just a little while ago before dark. They was out there working on a line, some kind of water line or something, and they had one of them compactors. That guy was on top of it going, well, what was he doing? He was compacting that soil down to where, you know, if you just throw dirt in it and 2 days later or 2 weeks later it started raining, you're going to have a what? You're going to have a hole. But he's compacting it down to where nothing else can get in there. And that's what God's doing to us.
Right.
He's cinching up all the holes.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit is doing when he comes down. And it's gonna just bathe us.
Amen.
You're going to have problems? Sure. Going to have trials? Sure. But you know how to handle them.
Right.
And I've always said, the Holy Spirit doesn't take away your problems.
Right.
But it teaches you how to handle them. And you know what it does, too? It shortens them.
Yes. Yeah.
If you'll let the Holy Spirit, if you'll let him lead, it will shorten your problem.
Right.
I was talking to a girl today at work. her sister had a son died, and it's been a long time ago. There's some point in time where, you know, you if you're a born again Christian, you got to say that had to be God that did that. He knew what was right. He knew every part of that was right. He knew why he was taking that young man. He knew all that. Just leave it to him and leave it alone. And let your trial be this short, not a lifetime long. Some people can't let go of a lifetime of stuff. We know those people. But they're not true born again Christians. I promise you, there's somewhere you got to lay it down and say, God, that's yours. I believe you're perfect. I believe I'm your child. I believe it had to be for the best. I believe this is the only way it could happen. If not, God would have done it a different way. Because remember, God's the only one who can take you. Me and Sister Anna Kennard was talking about, you know, you can shorten your life. You can go walk out and stand in the middle of the road, Brother John, and a few minutes later we'll hear this crash and somebody dial 911. But you're not going until God tells you you're going. So when he takes you, that's perfect.
That's right.
Do we really believe that? You know, the old saying is, you know, he went before his time. No, he didn't go before his time. There was only one problem with a man in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that wanted to lengthen his life. And you see what that got him. He should have went when God said it's time for you to go. Right? So let's just, but to me that satisfies anything inside of us that just keeps something lingering and eating at you. And let that thing go. There's not one more thing you can do about it. And like I said before, if we know God's perfect, we know he don't make a mistake. We know he does everything for our good. That's what he said, right?
Right.
And he'll never put on you more than you can stand.
That's right.
Am I reading scripture? He's telling that directly to his bride.
Right.
If something happens in our life, we just say, no, God slay me.
Amen.
Yet I'll trust him.
Amen.
Like Brother Bram said, he said, whatever, Lord. My kid's dying. My wife's dead. The Lord giveth. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
This I say before, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance. Now look, through the ignorance that's in them. Stop their self from going on with God by the ignorance that's inside of us. Because of the blindness of their heart. Now look, Brother Brown said, look, these fellows wasn't required what these fellows are, dispensation. This wasn't required what this was. Now I do believe, and you and I, we all know and believe that every promise and every woe, in other words, you might say, another 7 church ages, we get their blessings, but we also get the curse.
Right.
So we're the last church age. We're over here at the very end, all right? And you still hadn't done away because way over here in the first church age, he said, you've left your first love. Well, that's the same way with today.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Then he says, you got a name you call, but you're dead.
Yeah.
Then all these different things, well, that didn't go away in that church age. It just kept flowing through to here. So everything's piling up here.
That's right.
Even Brother Ralph said in the dark ages, the same spirit, that ox spirit for them to overcome and to just walk into a lion's den and walk into a gladiator's ring and give their life for God. He said, you need that every day to get through your life. Well, yeah, you do. How many lions is out there ready to kill you now? The Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the truth. And now he's back to that word true. In the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now remember that word true? The real nature corresponding to the name. In other words, what I'm trying to get you to see, dispensational changes.
Amen.
Dispensations must correspond with the real genuine that's going on in that period of time.
Right.
With me. I'm not looking for Jesus to walk on the shores of Galilee again
in this
dispensation.
Right.
I want him to see him in yours.
Right.
Walk in your feet.
Right.
That's our dispensation. There was a dispensation when, yes, sir, he walked on the face of the earth. And he walked in shoe leather. He ate. He lived with a group of people. But now, that's not that dispensation anymore. This dispensation is that he's alive in you and me. The same way, without restrictions.
Come on.
He has been under restrictions during these other dispensations. This is the dispensation of the Son of Man.
Yes. Amen.
Then you get all these virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. When a man possesses these kind of things, look, then the Holy Ghost comes upon him. Now, many people in the message take that quote right there, and they believe that you don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost until you... all the way up here where it says Holy Spirit. I personally listened to him talk about it just because of this quote. So it says when a man possesses these kind of things, the virtues, then the Holy Spirit comes. Look, it doesn't come in him. It comes upon you. I look at words.
Right, right.
In and on.
Amen.
Right.
Lord's Prayer says in earth, not on earth.
That's right.
In earth as it is in heaven. In earth.
Right.
This earth. I'm not worried about it. Listen, if this earth don't get changed, this one surely will not.
Right, exactly.
So the whole world's waiting, groaning, as I said before, waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God, not manifestation of trees. They'll change when we change.
Amen.
Because they got lost when we got lost.
Right.
Then the Holy Ghost comes upon him. No matter, you might speak in tongues, you might impersonate any gift, look, that God's got. But until these virtues here go into you, now they use the word into, Brother George, you're still off the real true, there's that true again, true foundation of faith. But when these virtues grow in, and you added that to that, then you are a living monument, you're a living, moving idol. Greatest battle ever fought, Brother Ram says, look, open up them flues of the soul and body, senses, conscious, that's the spirit realm. And just let God's word penetrate first.
Right.
Preeminence. Pre.
Yes.
Let God's word penetrate first. Take that mind. That's why I said, listen, everything's got an order. We know that, right? That's why we have church order. All right? That's why I said about coming in here late for church. You come in here late for church, you got everything on your mind.
That's right.
If you'll settle down for about 20 minutes and just pray, read your Bible.
Right.
Listen to what Brother Brown says. But you come walking in here 10 minutes after Bob's been speaking. No. You ain't going to get nothing. You've lost 10 minutes of an eternal speech.
Right. Exactly right.
Oh, that's too much. I thought the word was eternal, and if somebody brought it and made it eternal too.
Right.
But there's your battleground.
Yeah.
Open up that mind. That's the battleground. That's where the battle sets in array, right here in the front line, your mind. That's why I told about Brother Ryan saying that the devil sat on his shoulder. I wished he was sitting right there. I could flick him off. But he's right here. And that's something I can't knock it out yet. I'm sorry. I have that problem. If y'all don't have that problem, pray for me. Right here, the front line is your mind. Open it up. Look, every doubt, I doubt my doubts. One more time. Every doubt, I doubt my doubts.
Right.
So every doubt he has, he doubts that doubt that he had.
Amen.
Do we do that? No. You know what we do? We keep piling up. Doubt and fear goes together. You know that, right?
Right.
I'm believing God's word. Here I come, Satan. Something is going to take place. Sure it will. Yes, sir. Now, we looked at this. The interval would look just 8:30. We'll, I tell you what, let's stop. Magicians, come on. But I want to read what Brother Brown said about the interval, and then we'll start on it maybe Sunday for a little bit. Brother Donnie, don't be doing that. We'll be okay. People, they're already asleep now, so I'm going to let them get home. Now, we know this. It's okay. I know we're human. But we notice this interval now between the sixth and seventh chapter. Now, the seventh chapter of Revelation, look, reveals a happening. Now, remember, Revelation chapter 6 is seal 1 through 6, right? Revelation 7 is not the revelation of a seal. It's to bring in the 144,000. Then the seventh seal takes up in Revelation 8. Everybody with me? Now, look, we notice this interval now between the 6th and 7th chapter. Now, the 7th chapter of Revelation reveals a happening. It's not in here just for nothing. It's not put in between this for nothing. Right. It is here for a purpose. Right. And it's a revelation that reveals something. Right. We'll keep getting into that a little bit more. Notice how mysterious and mathematical it fits right into Scripture exactly. You believe in God's mathematics. If you don't, you're sure lost in the, you'll sure get lost in the Word. If you start putting a 4 or a 6 or something besides just the mathematical words running in order, you'll sure have in your scene a cow picking grass in the top of a tree somewhere. You certainly run out because God does not, his whole word does not run, look, it run completely in mathematics. It doesn't run completely, and he says in mathematics. Perfect, the most perfect. There's no other literature written like it so perfect in mathematics. And that's that interval that we've been talking about. Matthew 24, verse 4, he preached 6 seals. Go to Matthew 24, verse 32, it stops. And there's an interval. There's a calling in of some, of a group of people. But we're going to look at that in a spiritual sense a little bit later. Then Matthew 24, 36 to 44 picks right up with the seventh seal, and he talks about the Son of Man. Then you look at where Brother Brown said, look, the sixth seal produced itself, seventh seal brings him back to earth. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But there had to be that interval. And when we get into the seals, which we're going to get started in the seals, because you have to preach the seals if you preach the Son of Man. Because he is the seal. And everything about him was the seals. Amen. All right? So you got to preach on them. So we're going to preach on them again for the second or third time. But we're going to maybe approach it at a little bit different angle, if that's all right. But remember, Noah was in the ark. The bride is sealed in with Christ. The last member's been redeemed. The sixth seal has produced itself. The seventh seal brings him to earth. The Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand and sat down. Now he's on Revelations 5. Revelations 5. Claimed what he owned, what he had redeemed. That's right. It's always been that third pull. Three is perfection. Now for some of you young ones that don't know what third pull is, we'll cover that too. Because that's in the Son of Man Revelation. All right. There was no such thing as three pulls in the first age, second age, third age, fourth age, fifth age. This is all something that come out of all those ages. Right. And it was specific to Brother Branham, but he gave it to us. Yeah. All right? Because remember, the third pull is to the totally lost. Amen. The bride and the church. The ministry comes to its perfection. What? When the third pull happens. When that thing comes to the headstone, we come to perfection when it reproduced Christ again in natural, look, in natural amongst human beings, as was predicted, as it was in the days of Lot. Let's stand to our feet. Just think on these things. Brother Dale always said, think on these things. Think of all these intervals that we're looking at in the Bible, and then even with Brother Branham preaching 6 seals and having questions and answers, and then 7th seal, and then he preached 6 church ages and had preached 10 virgins and 144,000. Kind of strange. And then he had preached on the 7th church age. So there's always that answer. So there's something in there. We'll talk about it a little bit later. I want it to develop in your mind, not to just say, well, I don't know why that's in there, but it's in there. No, I want us to see why it was in there. See why all that was, you got 6, and then all of a sudden, stop for a minute. Then you got to go to the 7th seal, and it'll produce itself. It will produce itself because that is God in human flesh. He preached them. He was in human flesh. Okay. And I believe he was in a little prophet one night during the week, and he preached those seals through a human being, and nobody understood it. I read you the quote. He told the people, you ain't getting it. It ain't for you. Well, if it wasn't for you, I thought the Bible told us that you don't cast your, you know, if you cast your word out, it's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish what it said it would accomplish. So I believe it's accomplishing now what it was meant to be. I believe it is now accomplishing what it meant to be. And people are getting it. I believe people are getting it. Let's sing a song. If you have a need.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame when the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean, it is burning now within my heart. All glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Sing it to me.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn to be nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide, power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
The Heavenly Father.
One of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
And we believe with Him, Father, that it'll take care of all the things, sickness, whatever needs to be, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Holy Ghost. Power for service came now. What He did,
you believe that?
He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Are you glad?
I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Sing it to Him.
Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say.
Let's sing a song right here.
Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing and will keep your soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Turn around, shake somebody's hand, say I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Sing it one more time.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Remember Sunday? Regular service? Sunday morning? Your classes, if you have anything to do as far as Christmas, do it Sunday morning, and then we'll go down to the barn afterwards, and after we have a baptismal service, and then we'll do our gifts and all that down there. We sure appreciate each and every one of you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Had a good year. I believe we've bound ourselves together, and we've learned a little bit, and some people said they got filled with the Holy Ghost. We baptized 20 people, so, you know, let's look for something else. Something else is coming. 'Cause I'm one of them, you're dismissed. I'm one of them.